A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Johnny Smith.
I'm Richard Porter.
And this is Smith & Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars and many other things. Listen, guys, here's the saga. I forgot to regale a saga last week off of going to Austria. I stayed in a very nice hotel, and but I had a dream. I had a vivid dream, and I don't dream much, so they're special. When I do, right. unless they're horrific, in which case I try and bury them as quickly as possible. But this was not horrific, let it be known. So I had a vivid dream that my brother Greg bought me a really tasty but tatty Porsche 944.
Oh.
And it was a very odd dreams. I mean, we won't go into too much detail about dreams because the science is just huge. But so he bought me this tatty but cool 944, and I was so excited because when he first showed it to me, and I can't remember the ins and outs of why he bought it for me, because dreams are like that, aren't they? They get rid of most of the important detail.
Yes.
It's not like I owed him or he owed me a favour or anything, or it wasn't even my birthday. But I opened the garage door and saw the front of it with the pop-up headlights and thought, cool. And he said, oh, no, you'll enjoy the back end. You'll enjoy the back end. And he said, go on in and have a look. And he said, you'll like this. He said, Johnny, it looks shit. And I walked into the garage, and it was a cargo edition.
Oh,
those weird shooting brake versions that were done in Germany.
Yes. Now, weren't there a couple of people made those? Didn't Bauer make one?
Oh, I don't know. I thought it was just DP Motorsport, which is. Can I just put it out there that I don't think that's an appropriate name. I think all I ever think of is DP. I think of something else, and it's not motorsport related. And if I was them, I wouldn't be called DP Motorsport.
On that note, I'll never find this now because I didn't put it aside again.
You could have said on that side of things then. That would have been seamless.
On that side of, I didn't put it on that side of the, remember to save this email to read out. Someone messaged us last week and said that they were looking at an adult website. And an advert popped up that said something like, single women in your area just 10 minutes drive from you.
Mm.
And his question was, is this such a selling point? They have to mention it. 10 minutes drive. If they'd gone 12 minutes drive, you'd have gone, I can't be bothered. I'd love some sex, but 12 minutes? Oh, God.
No, because that's what they have to
add in. Is that in traffic or is that even the major clear?
They have to add an extra detail, like, okay, look, I'll be honest with you, it's 12 minutes drive, but she's also got loads of packets of crisps and peanuts.
Oh, okay. Oh, sorry, I said 12 minutes, that's in the middle of the night. I mean, it's right now you're going to catch the end of the school run, it's probably realistically more like 20 minutes. No, deal's off, not having it. Oh, here we go. Yeah, I'm not... I'm not going to read this out, because I'm not going to say the person's name in case they haven't said they don't want it read out, but...
People,
they're talking about looking at grot online.
Sex-starved people, less than 10 minutes drive away from you. Hashtag outside of rush hour.
Less than would be quite good. Ten minutes is, I don't know, I suppose it's, I don't know. Why mention it, though?
I prefer to be able to walk.
It's minimum effort on your part.
It is.
10 minutes drive could realistically, if it's a, you know, an urban area, that could be 20-30 minutes walk, which could be quite nice on a pleasant day.
I was going to say, I'd favour a walk, because you don't know what the parking's like at the other end.
Oh!
Do you?
Well, there's the thing for people, these online advertisers of hookup services or whatever, then yeah, incorporate more data.
I don't believe any of them are real.
Hot singles are just 10 minutes drive from you. There is easy parking, although it is residence in some streets, so do check the signs before you go and have sex.
I know why they've said 10 to 12 minutes drive away, because because you're going to have intercourse in the car, because there's no house. That you meet in a pub or a bar, and let's face it, nobody has sex in pubs. I don't think they do. So you're immediately going to hook up in the car if you're that much of a desperado. Therefore, they're saying, listen, you really ought to drive, unless you want to, like, I don't know, fool around by the skip behind Marks and Spencer's. You're going to have to, like, get your car. So that's why they do it.
Right. I mean, they should probably make this more clear, because what if you went, 10 minutes drive? Now, hang on a minute, I've got a scooter. That'll get me there in probably like 7 or 8 minutes, because I can just, cut through the traffic. That's brilliant. Then you get there and she's going, right, how are we going to do this thing? Haven't you got a car? Yeah, I have, but I left it at home because the advert didn't make it clear that I'd need to use it as a small brothel.
I'm gonna turn up in my PLP 50.
Yes. Well, that's it. I
turn up in a car.
I'm never in a position where I've both bought a Honda Beat and decided to respond to one of these ads, because that's going to be impractical. They need to put a lot more info in these ads,
don't they?
Just 10 minutes from here, there is parking. However, make sure you park somewhere that's not overlooked, because you will be having sexual intercourse in your own car. Do not ask to go in and use the loo. It is not an option. This is a car-based transaction.
Please turn up clean. Thank you.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
This is all quite tawdry, isn't it? But I do like this.
This is what this podcast is about, Rich. This is what people tune
in
for.
Apparently, according to the email, it actually said mature single women are just 10 minutes drive from you.
But hang on, when they say mature, is that sort of mentally?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So if they're mature mentally, you said to them, look, I'm prepared to drive out there. I just got to know if it's residence permit or not. And they're like, oh, no, thanks for asking. A few people have said this before. It's actually, if you just go around the corner from the exact location I've given you, there's like usually three very quiet spots, or it's a loading area that isn't relevant after 9 p.m. So go there.
Hang on. That is residence, but I live around here. I've got some of those scratch card permits, so we could do one of those. Hang on, bring a coin. And also, you owe me £1.50 for the permit. Taking some of the romance out of it, isn't it?
Anyway, can we go back to my dream?
Dragged that a little bit off
let's,
path.
Let's though. Go back to DP Motorsport Cargo, shall we? So my brother Greg gifted me a tatty but extremely cool Porsche 944 Cargo. And I was so excited. I'd looked round it. We got it running. I'd found a couple of bits of rot, but they weren't too serious. This dream went into immense detail of the condition of the vehicle. And then I woke up and I was so angry. I woke up needing a wee immediately, because obviously that's par for the course. And as I was staggered into the hotel bathroom and leant up against the wall to rinse my kidneys, I was so cross. It's like, so I haven't got that 944 Cargo, have I? No, I haven't. Shit. If I go back to sleep, could it reboot? And is there a chance that it could happen? I actually thought about that in the first few seconds of me waking up. It's like, no, Johnny, that's not how it works, you tool. So then I started to look at, of course, for sure, 944 Cargos. Now, people will be screaming at the podcast going, they made 924 Cargos as well. I know they did, but I'm just going to put this out
there. Did they?
I like lots of crap cars. I'm not interested in 924s. I'm really sorry. Because for many years, you could buy a 944 for the same price almost as a 924, and there's a massive, massive difference between a 24 and a 44. So, no, I'm not going to.
I do like the look of especially an early 924. They do look sort of quite, delicate almost and pretty compared to a 944, which is a bit more sort of butch.
Yeah, I don't like the delicateness, though. That's not what I want it for. Okay. I'd rather have an Audi Coupe GT, which is much more understeery, but a fantastic, probably a better made, more comfortable, better sounding car.
Yeah.
Okay. So on basis, on that basis, about.
So to sum up, you vividly dreamt that your brother was giving you a 944 Cargo.
Yes.
And.
But I don't know why.
It turned out to be a dream, and then you woke up and you were really disappointed.
I was cross. I was actually cross. I woke up.
Tipped into cross.
I woke up to do the shoot on the Mercedes G-Wagen, the new one, and I started the day very cross. Yeah. So if I when the embargo lifts on those videos, the electric one and the piston one, you might notice. Yeah. I think it's the piston one. Which is one I filmed first. I'm a little cross. I'm not angry about the G. I'm angry about the fact that I thought I had a car that I didn't.
All right, I'm Johnny Smith. This is the Late Break Show. Watch it if you want. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, he gives a shit.
So angry about this 944 that I don't have.
I do. I for the rest of the day, though. Excuse me. Sorry, I need a bit of easy start. For the rest of the day, I did think about whether or not DP Motorsport, who I do think still exist, whether they still have the molds. They must have the mold still. And would I do it? Would I? Would anybody listening, would you do it?
They were fiberglass, were they?
I think they were fiberglass add-ons, yeah.
Let's have a look here. 944 Cargo DP. Doopy-doopy-doo. Ooh, look at these.
I think it's nice. Such a good... It's like a German Reliant Scimitar.
Yes.
Isn't
it? Yes, it is.
And I've got no issue with
Crikey.
That. Cool, isn't it?
They are really cool.
Yeah, they are cool. I'm down with them. The DP Cargo.
There seems to be some suggestion here that they could still make you one.
What?
Wait, no, this can't be right.
Listen, if there's anyone from DP Motorsport in Germany listening, I don't mind your name. I don't mind the name of the company at all. It would be great to chat about cargo conversions. Do I have to supply a slightly rusty 944 to you? I guess I do. Of course, they call it a combi, don't they?
This is from a forum from 11 years ago, near as damn it, and it says... They are willing to do it if you provide a donor 944.
Well, that's the easy bit.
They want €18,000 for the complete conversion on your donor car.
18, 1-8.
1-8, yeah.
Okay,
so,
I mean...
I don't know what the exchange rate is at the moment.
I mean, it's a lot... I mean, 944s have gone up in value from what they were.
Yeah.
But if there was one that had, like, I don't know, tree that had fallen on the back of it... You could get it really cheap, you know, like an X. It was just leaving the concourse area of a show, and unfortunately, an elm tree came down on it.
Yes, but just on the back.
Just on the back.
You can't get the glass.
Very, very selective kind of damage, and you bought that off of the insurance and took it straight to DP. That'd be amazing.
I'm looking at DP Motorsports. Do still exist there? Well, they've certainly got a website, and they... seem to specialise in sort of resto modding 911s these days. There's one here, they've got some projects, some examples of their work, and there's one here, it's a 964. What they've done to it is described as a refresh duration.
Surely you can only say that if you're from the Netherlands.
Maybe it's the thing. I quite like it because immediately you understand what they mean.
It's recommissioning, isn't it?
Recommissioning would be another way of saying it.
That's the way
I quite like refresh duration.
I like refresh duration. Yeah, that sounds cool.
Ah, this car.
I've got to say also that the DP Motorsport logo, I do like.
Well, it's very simple and elegant, isn't it?
Yeah, yes, I think
it's good.
I'm all right with that. Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, yeah, look decent on there. We've got some cars for sale here. Well, they're all 911s. Sadly,
No cargos.
No 944 cargos.
See, they've lost their way. They need to go back to their
yes,
roots.
Well, what about combining their two passions and making a 911 cargo?
Well,
what would that look like?
Well, that, I mean, I would be interested to know how that could work. Or with, if 911s are a little bit fruity in the price department, what about a, yes. what about a Cayman?
Cayman, but Cayman shooting bike.
Like a Cayman, Cayman van?
Did somebody do this? Did someone... I feel... Hang on, let's have a little look at this. I feel like someone had a go at this.
Well, I only discovered last month that there was a kit that you could turn a yes. Boxster into a Cayman. Which I didn't...
Oh, really?
Yeah. You can do it. It's like a weird clip-on hardtop thing. Oh, actually, when I say clip-on, it might not be clip-on. It might be bonded on for life.
Yeah, clip sounds not substantial enough.
Yeah. For,
these, I think there's some renderings here, I'm not sure. Which do look rather good, actually, but yeah, I think some people have rendered it up. No, wait a second, someone has built one. Someone's built one out of a Boxster for some reason, rather than a Cayman, according to this. But maybe that's... You don't have to cut the roof off, do you?
No, of course. What do you do? Just unbolt all the hood mechanism, which is actually not that difficult, because I did it with an adult about 2 weeks ago on my Boxster, on my ghetto Boxster, yeah. Took the whole mech off.
So, do you remember that somebody was, probably still is, selling a, not quite clip-on, but not far off,
Eagle Quest
shooting brake conversion for the old-shaped Corvette?
Oh, yes.
The C7.
Yeah, I like that.
It looked really good. Apparently, it didn't increase the boot space at all for some reason.
Didn't it?
But no.
Not at all.
But it looked great. And I wonder what it did to the aero. I wonder if it had any sort of useful improvements.
That's so strange that it didn't have any more space.
This is what I seem to remember. This was, I think, Matt Farrer from The Smoking Tire told me this. That's
so odd.
It might have even reduced the boot space because of the inner structure. I can't remember. It definitely wasn't, if you thought, oh my God, I'll be able to get so much more in my Corvette now, it wasn't that. It didn't really help, but it did look really cool.
Right, okay.
Yeah, there's a company here, Van Thule Development, have taken a 986 Boxster and turned it into a shooting brake.
Are they Dutch, Van Thule?
Sounds like it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Let's have a look. There's an article here on The Drive by Steph Schrader about it. Dutch company.
Did you say Van Fool? Like, Fool?
No, I beg your pardon.
Fool.
No, it's actually Fontys Hogeschool Eindhoven Motorsport Engineering were the people who had the idea. They commissioned Van Thule Development to do the composite bodywork.
Oh.
They're a composite bodywork specialist.
Fool, how dare you enter my kingdom.
So, students from the motorsport company worked with Van Thule to make this thing. I'll put some pictures on the Patreon, but it's a nice-looking car. They used 911, 991 rear lights because they sort of integrate better with the bodywork.
That sounds cool.
It does sound cool. Yeah. It is cool. It looks nice. And the rear window, you know, obviously stretches back. It looks like they've sort of integrated a so that in fact part of the
we're trying to say Rich.
Glass is inset to allow an air intake.
And this is based upon a Boxster, did you say?
Yeah, it's based on a 986 Boxster, in fact.
Oh shit. I'm going to have a look.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a close.
You need to get on the phone to Van Thule.
Fool.
But they've thoroughly revamped it because at the front, I think they've put on a 997 nose.
Oh, they shouldn't have done
that. It's got a 997 GT3 nose, front bumper, and that bonnet with the slotted thing below the shut line.
I'm going to take a look.
I'm going to say, yeah, well, you know, I can show you an picture right now, but this, well, it's food for thought if you decide that you suddenly want to spend thousands on your 1900 quid Boxster.
Yes. I think the air conditioning stopped working. Not that
has it?
Well, look.
Hang on a minute. Why does that bother you?
I knew you'd say this, only because I've had it parked indoors for the last few weeks. And there's a small puddle of water under the front corner, and it hasn't evaporated in about a week.
Ah.
So I'm like, And I think it's the air conditioning radiator or radiators. which doesn't bother me because I hate air conditioning, as some of you may be aware. But I don't want the car to start throwing up warning chimes and codes and pissing me off. So I don't really know what to do. I'm going to have to investigate. I think what I'll do is I'm going to drink half a bottle of red wine this weekend and then just take the front bumper off and have a look at it. but I'm going to make sure I'm on a comfy stool because there's nothing I hate more than working on a car when my arse is on a very cold, concretey surface. It's annoying.
I think this has the makings of a spin-off YouTube channel, surely. Molbeck Mechanic, where you just scull a hearty red and then get busy with it after midnight as well. So it's very dark.
The after midnight Molbeck Mechanic. It sounds amazing. What a name.
So Midnight Mechanic, sponsored by Molbeck.
I would love I'd love that. Obviously, the Molbeck Mechanic drives to the garage and then walks home or sleeps in the garage.
Sleeps in the car.
That's the rule. Sorry, I've still got such a tickly cough. I sound like one of those people that's nervously laughing all the time, but I promise I'm not.
Can I completely change the subject?
Yes.
I realised when we did our Glasgow, or nearly Glasgow, live show, I mentioned that I drove to Scotland in a Volkswagen ID Buzz. Ooh. And then I drove home again in it and I had it for a week. And I hadn't sort of done a little sum up of my experiences with that car because before Christmas, when I decided to buy my 24 Tesla, I was looking at ID Buzzes because there were some very tempting lease deals going. And I spoke to somebody on Twitter who did go for it. It was even cheaper than the Tesla on the monthlies.
Wow.
And it's quite surprising because I thought the ID Buzz, you know, the ID Buzz actually on a lease and to buy outright, it's not a cheap car usually. And I thought it was quite a hot property, but it sounds like they just need to get rid of some at the end of last year, presumably to meet their targets. But rather than do an official deal like Tesla did, they punted them out through all the sort of big lease companies.
Yeah. I've noticed that. I haven't seen as many as I expected to see. The fanfare definitely died off quickly.
It's weird, isn't it? I just feel like you don't really see them around very much. And I thought that they would be more commonplace and more sought after. And I don't know, it seems like they're not. So when this Buzz turned up, and my kids, straight away, it was a two-tone green and white one. So, it looks good. That paint's optional.
It is a nice colour. Worth it. Yeah, it's good.
And my kids immediately were like, oh, well, this is so cool. Yeah, they absolutely loved it. And they loved it. It's got sliding doors because, you know, that's sort of cool if you're a kid. And so I was a bit like, ah, oh, shit, I got the wrong car here. This will be much more fun as a family car. But after lots and lots of miles in it, I think it probably did close to 800 miles in 3 days in it, because it was about, I think it's about 380 miles to Scotland and back, so each way. So it's quite a lot of what you might call seat time with it.
You do seat time.
My conclusion after spending all that time with the car and doing long distance in it is that I'm quite glad that I got the Tesla, because there are two issues with the ID Buzz. There are the issues with its EV-ness, and then there are the issues with it just as a car. The charging network these days on motorways is a lot better than it used to be. You know, you used to pull in and it's like the chargers didn't work.
Well, there was two of them and they were tucked in a dark corner without any lighting.
Yeah, and neither of them worked properly. Or one of them worked properly, the other one got a leaf on it, and, you know, the car, not the bit of tree.
Yeah.
And that just doesn't seem to happen anymore.
No.
You know, I didn't find a single broken charger. And the other problem I've had recently with public chargers is just that you get there and they're all in use. And I was quite lucky on the way to and from Scotland. I didn't find that. Everywhere I pulled in, I could get onto a charger. The issues now are that there are some very fast chargers and they seem to be pretty good, but there's a lot of ones. They now label them in motorway service areas medium.
Oh, I've not seen any choice. Medium.
Yeah, they now, I can't remember who's doing this, which, not Ecotricity, but they're, so Moto or whoever owns the services are labelling fast and medium. I think in some cases even slow, although I don't know why you'd want that. But, if there aren't any fast ones, you just get the mediums, and you suddenly realise, and particularly if you've been spoiled, not to sound like a fanboy, but if you've been spoiled by the speed of Tesla chargers, the medium ones just don't cut it.
Yeah.
And it's annoying.
Yeah.
And you find yourself sitting there. And one of the things that's irritating about the ID Buzz is it sort of seems to switch itself on and off, and it tries to do that thing that Teslas do and Polestars do, where you don't need to push a button to start it. You just put your foot on the brake and bing, it comes to life. But then it's sort of, it's protocols when you're sitting there just trying to eat a sandwich and let it charge in the car. It's just not quite as smooth. You know, in my Tesla, you get in, and when you're in there, it's on, and you can watch stuff on the screen, or you can just listen to music. It just seems to be much more consistent and useful. Like, they've really thought about how people are going to be using the car, which is that sometimes they might want to sit in it with the heated seat on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, just
which is what
watching
I do.
One of the excellent Late Break Show videos on YouTube, which you can do through the screen in a Tesla, and you can't do in the ID Buzz. But that's fine. I have a phone. I could do it that way. But it's just, yeah, it's just stuff like that. It's a bit sort of faffy somehow.
Yeah.
But it's also, I don't think it sucks in juice fast enough. I can't remember what its max charging rate is, but it certainly doesn't seem to ever hit it.
I thought it was 200, but I might be.
It is something like that, but it feels like it is not achieving that consistently. It's sometimes it's estimates of how long to just get you a decent charge.
Well, I think this
not great.
This goes back to Tesla having the software that talks to the charger, obviously preconditions the car, makes the transaction between pulling up, or the time between pulling up to the charger, putting the plug in, and charging activated, so seamless, quick, and to the point where range anxiety is a distant memory. I mean, I really think it is a distant memory. Tesla people don't have issues with that.
No. No, you just don't. And I'm sorry to keep on going on like this, because it's quite tedious when Tesla people believe that there are no other cars in the world that compare. But in this respect, my experience recently is that that is true. And the Buzz, the other problem is that it doesn't seem to preheat its battery. So you can tell it on the app what time you're going to leave in the morning.
Mm.
And if it's plugged in at home, the Tesla will then go, oh, you're leaving at 8 o'clock. Okay, at about 7:30, I'll start heating the battery so that it's in its optimum condition, particularly in cold weather, to give it its all. And that's really useful. And it heats the cabin and turns your heated seat and your heated steering wheel on. So you get in the car, it's toasty warm. It's as efficient a state as it can be because the battery's warmed up. And off you go. The Buzz just heats the interior, which is nice, but it's not helping you to get max range out of it.
No.
So that's a bit dumb. I don't know why they haven't built in that functionality. I've noted down from the trip computer, it was 388 miles back from nearly Glasgow, and it averaged 2.5 miles per kilowatt hour.
Right, okay. That's not as good as I remember getting from it when I drove it, but I was really impressed with it. That's about the same as the EV9, the Kia EV9 that I drove recently.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the Buzz has got a 77 kilowatt hour usable battery. So the actual battery is 82, I think, but 77 usable capacity. So if you,
so it's quite a small battery actually compared to
well, it's
Tesla's.
It's bigger than the one in my Tesla, but it's 192.5 mile range would be theoretically possible at that consumption and using all of that battery. And you're not going to do that, are you? Because you're going to get a bit edgy when it starts to get low. So really, that's less than 190 miles. I don't know. It's just... But anyway, it's not all that. It's EV-ness that has also put me off. It's just that infotainment system, that VW shit tech that is in all the ID cars, apart from the 7 now. It's so laggy. And... you know, I was in that car a long time, so I got pretty familiar with how it all works. And I have used it before, and, you know, some bits you get used to, but there's a lot of it you just don't. It's just crap. You know, having to sort of come out of CarPlay when you're listening to a podcast or music just to fiddle with the ventilation system. And then, I don't know, I just find it's more complicated and frustrating than it needs to be. And it's things like, and it's a minor point, but the wipers are built into, it's only got one stalk, so it's doing indicators and wipers, because on the other side, on the right of the wheel, is the gear selector, the direction chooser. And to operate the wiper stalk, you have to take your hand off the wheel, because it's a little thing within the stalk.
Is it?
Yeah, to change the settings. Okay. I think it's one of these things, again, where they've gone, oh, auto. Everyone will just leave it on auto. And you go, well, yes, they will if auto wipers are good enough. And they're not as tragically shite as the ones in my Tesla, but they are still auto wipers. And they're not perfect. And you've got to just do a bit of faffing with your hand off the wheel. And you just go, Volkswagen used to be better than this.
Yeah.
They used to think this stuff through a bit more to make it as user-friendly and as effortless as possible. Which sort of brings me to our E-Up, which is more like that. It's more old-school VW. It's just very easy to use, everything about it. You know, you want the heated seat on, the buttons are right there. They're like almost a finger stretch away from the wheel at the top of the dashboard. And just above the heated seat is the thing that turns off the bloody lane departure shit that doesn't work properly.
Well, that's
so
why...
you just kill it that's immediately
why the,
and easily.
The E-Up still has a key that goes in a hole.
It does, yes.
And I dig that.
And it still has an old-fashioned handbrake. And, you know, these things actually make it feel quite old now, but...
But not bad old.
At the same time, they're just... It is just... You know where everything is. Not to sound like an old fart, but you don't have to wonder what's it doing. Because sometimes with that buzz, I was finding myself, you've got the key in my pocket and then it wouldn't open and you had to sort of flip it manually. And I don't know if that's just a glitch or if it's just some protocol within its brain that's gone, oh, well, you only got out 2 minutes ago, so that can't be you trying to get back in again. I'm not going to let you. It's just infuriating.
Yeah. Gash.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
A patron of ours called Matt asked, in fact, if I would do a check-in and long-term review of the E-Up, because he says smart money seems to be on an electric Seat Mii at the moment. Curious to know how you're getting on with your VW. I think the E-Up is brilliant. For what it is, as a second car, I would say predominantly. Because I was thinking about this, and I think we've charged our E-Up once on a public charger.
Have you?
And that was when we moved house, when we moved from London to Bath Bath, and my wife needed to drive between those two places. And she charged up at a motorway services. And apart from that, it never goes on a public charger because it is a little shuttle that does local runs, and it takes my wife to work every day, and we charge it at home. And
I want my mum and dad to get one. I want Bob and Sue to get one.
I think if it suits your needs, it will suit them perfectly. It is such a brilliantly usable car. It's pleasant to drive. I've had four adults in it, and it doesn't feel like it's struggling or that, you know, it's on its rear bump stops like an old 106 with five lads in it. It's just a very, very, for a tiny car, it's really, really usable and surprisingly grown up in some ways and just user-friendly. There is nothing about it that is irritating.
Well, that's really good. I like it too, Richard. Yes.
So that would be my brief long-term review. I heartily endorse it. The range is okay. Again, it is. It's a little local trip kind of thing. I mean, you know, my wife goes from Bath to Bristol every day in it, and it's fine for that. And in the summer, it needs charging once a week. In the winter, sometimes it might need a little tickle. But it's fine. Now we've got a proper charger put in at home. I don't think I've mentioned this. I had this Omi smart charger put in at home, and it's all integrated into our cheapo overnight electricity. It's deeply fascinating, but It works very well.
After our chat about Restomod windmills last week.
Yes.
I just want solar power more than ever, Rich. Got such a craving for like home solar. I've had it for years, and the various circumstances have stopped me from pulling the trigger on that bad boy. But I do very much want home solar. It makes so much sense with all that massive sunshine that we've had lately in Britain.
Yeah.
But no, especially if you've got a motor, an electric car or even a home storage battery, it just starts to make total sense. We're actually talking about consumer shit on this podcast.
I know, I apologize.
It's quite worrying.
I feel like I just reviewed two cars pretty much. That simply won't do. Well, one closing thought is, ID Buzz, I found it frustrating, and I'm quite glad I didn't buy one. I did drive the ID7 a few weeks ago. That feels much better, in as much as, firstly, it feels a bit higher quality in all the fixtures and fittings, and also the screen is a lot, lot better. So, there is hope. Hopefully, when they facelift the Buzz, they might fix some of these things. They feel like they could be fixable.
It'd be great if there's somebody who can retro... fit a different infotainment in the Buzz, and then when the prices dip hard, I might go in for that, because I was going to buy one.
Yeah,
I only didn't buy one because I was worried that the infotainment was going to piss me off on a daily basis.
It pissed me off.
Yeah,
it pissed me off
on a daily basis.
I spent a long time in it. It pissed me off. I thought, yeah, you get used to it. You get used to it. Because that same system was in a Cupra Leon that we rented when we went on holiday last summer. And it didn't particularly bother me.
Hmm.
But I suppose we didn't drive it all that much. And I didn't need to use a lot of the functions so much. And I just thought, oh, it's probably okay. I don't think I drove it once at night, because that stupid thing where the heater controls aren't lit up is just like mind-bogglingly dumb. You're genuinely sort of patting away in the dark, hoping you can make yourself warmer.
It's such an un-Volkswagen thing to have done, isn't it? But
exactly, this is the thing. The E-Up is a very Volkswagen. It's sensible. It's practical. It feels like it put thought into every sort of thing that you need to use. And the ID Buzz feels like it was done by like a bunch of kids on laptops, and they're all wearing headphones and not talking to each other. And it's just infuriating.
Well, I've been driving a French car last week, 408 Peugeot FEV plug-in hybrid. I can't remember the last time I had so many double takes and admiring glances on a non-sports car. Yeah, loads.
That's interesting.
It's a great shaped car. It's got a very interesting alloy wheels that are quite out there in design. Comfort superb, absolutely sweet ride quality. It has got the steering wheel, which I was having an argument with my daughter about whether she says it's a hexagon, I say it's an onion, and we can't work
an
out.
Onion.
I think if you look at modern Peugeot steering wheels, they're an odd shape. I think the inside of it is shaped like a hexagon, the outside of it is shaped like an onion, but I might be wrong.
Okay.
Let's discuss this.
I mean, it could be both, I suppose, if a hexagonal onion. I drove that car a while ago. And really liked it.
Mm.
It was yours, that sort of greeny blue colour.
Yes, very nice colour. Is it like a duck's neck, a mallard's neck, or is it a bit mallardy?
Well, Ford used to do a colour that was not dissimilar, and it was called tourmalade. And I assume they did that because it had the word mallard in it, because it is a very ducky colour.
It's a great ducky colour. Love it.
But it's an interesting looking car, that 408, isn't it?
Yes.
And it's sort of, also you go, what is it? It is a sort of big hatchback, but they've slightly jacked it up.
Yeah, it is an odd one. It's not quite anything. I was worried that the fastback back end would mean the boot was disappointing, but the boot's actually huge. Well impressed with the boot. I thought it was really good. Enjoyed it. And I still like the older Peugeot badge. Sorry, Peugeot, but I prefer the older Peugeot badge. I prefer the chrome lion, where you got to see all of the lion's body. Now it's just, I think, the head of a lion. It's more of a sketch. A
it
lion
looks
drawing.
More like a logo for a football club or something.
Yeah, and as we all know, most football clubs have got shit logos. So, fact.
I feel like I'm not going to get involved in that one. Best of luck.
It's true. The number of cars I follow with shit stickers in the back window supporting the local football club, and I just look at the logo and go, that's just such a thoughtless, rubbish logo. Is that all you could come up with? And you're selling like hundreds of thousands or millions of pounds worth of merchandise with what is essentially a shit logo on it. That's just annoying.
Anyway, I'm going to change the subject very quickly.
Yeah, let's do it.
We've had a message from a patron called Charles Tao. Now, Charles is in the US.
Hi, Charles.
And it's important for me to say this because I'll read it out. That's the simplest thing. Charles says, In this edition of Rare But Nobody Cares correspondence, I'm seeking your thoughts on the possibility of sourcing front and rear end parts from an 80s Rover 213 or 216 from a UK scrapyard.
Okay.
As a US fan of keeping up appearances, I've occasionally entertained the idea of recreating the Bouquet-mobile, allegedly a 1986 216, using a Honda Civic sedan as a basis. Given the age of the prospective donor, I fear I've missed the boat on finding one that hasn't already been crushed or otherwise disposed of. The recent arrival of a surprisingly clean 1985 Civic for sale nearby has reawakened my interest in this fool's errand. Any thoughts on the possibility of finding a Rover donor would be most welcome.
I mean,
this is incredible.
This is great. I love the dedication. What I would say is, I'm not sure if the 85 Civic and the parts would be interchangeable.
I don't see why not.
Was it a Honda Ballad?
Yeah, but it was sold as a Civic, I think it was
sedan.
A Civic sedan in the US.
Right, okay.
I think that we must be right. I mean, Charles, I'm sure Charles is well up on that. I'm fascinated by someone in the US being a fan of keeping up appearances.
That is quite retro. Charles, if you haven't already, you should have bought that Civic sedan, because there's probably not that many around, and if it's just down the road from you, let me ask you, is it 10 to 12 minutes drive away, this civic saloon? And are you buying it off a, should we just say, hot mature lady?
Oh god.
So if I were you, I would just go and buy that vehicle ASAP. And if you need any help shipping out the parts, either myself or someone listening will help you. It's not that difficult, believe.
I'm sure. I mean, I'm going to do a little search for it. See, look, there is a Rover 213 for sale here. It's a 1988, so it's a later one. Now, I can't remember when the switchover was. Do you remember those cars, when they came out, they had a very high boot lip? And this caused some customer complaints. So later ones, and at presumably great expense in body re-engineering, they dropped the lip. So it was a cutout between the lights. Same as they did on the Peugeot 405, in fact.
Yeah.
It's just like there was so much customer pushback from having to hoik things over a high lip, which I know Peugeot did for body rigidity on the 405, but they presumably found another way to keep it with a dropped sill. And they did the same thing on the Honda and the Rover. So, but obviously that has a bearing on the back lights are totally different. So I don't know if the Civic that Charles has found, he says it's an 85. I think that the 85 is going to have the high. I think they did the switchover in 87. So what we're looking for here is a high sill Civic / Rover.
I'm thinking, Charles, if that car doesn't fit the bill, just buy a Rover 216 from the UK and ship it out.
I think that's what he's talking about, isn't it? But he wants to do the switch. I guess, do you want to do the switch because he wants it to be
already
left-hand drive?
Or you already US registered?
Yes.
It could be that. But to be honest with you, just ship the whole damn car out. It'll cost you, you'll get the car for almost nothing. So it'll just cost you shipping. And I have a good shipping contact. In fact, I did a feature all about how to ship your car to and from the States with a company that I've used numerous times. On the Late Break Show, yeah. It was one of my lockdown features where I couldn't really do much. So I decided to do a video about how you import cars from the US to the UK. But of course, you can do it the other way around almost as easily. So
I missed that.
Well, you know. It was when I was going through my consumery phase. But we can't go too consumer on this podcast because we get cut down.
I feel like we've done too much consumerism already.
Eagle Quest, Eagle Quest.
I can't find any other early model Rover 213s or 216s, sometimes called the SD3. But I'm sure, I mean, that's the problem. They don't come up really, do they?
I know I was going to ask today.
Yes.
Have you played the Rivian R3 game yet?
No.
It seems to be the car, the recently unveiled car that everyone says looks like another car. In a good way. It's a car I think that it appeals to us and our people. If you haven't seen the Rivian R3 or the R3X, it's like a small car model in the Rivian range. Rivian being the people that make the electric pickup truck, the R1T and the R1S, the SUV thing, which I think are fantastic, actually. I've got a lot of time for Rivian. The R3, though, lots of people have gone, AMC Gremlin, Mark 1 Golf, add in another car. There's loads of them. AMC Hornet or whatever it is. You know, what's the off-road car that predates all the other all-terrain cars? It's not a Concorde, AMC.
Well, the Eagle.
It's the Eagle, but not the Quest.
Yeah.
Not the Quest. Gosh.
No, certainly not. I would take my lead from a chap called Adrian Clark, who is a British car designer. He used to work for Land Rover. He now writes for The Autopian, the excellent American website. And he wrote a brilliant piece about the Rivian R3. It's the R3X, isn't it? Is the sort of jacked up one.
That's right.
There's an R3, which is just like a hatch, and then the R3X is a kind of Rover streetwise version of it.
But yes.
He wrote this brilliantly ranty piece for the Autopian, going that the R3X it doesn't look like a Niva or a Golf or an Integrale or anything else. It's far more modern than that, and people are getting confused because, you know, it has that shape, which is a sort of classic hatchback shape. It is a Mark 1 Golfish sort of shape, the rake of the rear screen and stuff. But he's like, it's not retro, it's completely modern. It just happens to have sort of that shape. But
yeah,
with his car designer's eye, he's kind of gone, he's basically, it was a really good rant, but he was basically going, you're all talking shit, which I
very much like it. I'm fond of it. I think it's a cool design. I think the car's, it's a European sized car rather than being a huge trucky thing.
My issue with it is more the fact that they've announced it now. I mean, this thing's got to be years away, hasn't it? They've done a Tesla and gone, here's this new thing, and you go, yeah, when can we buy it? Oh yeah, it'll be a couple of years. And then a couple of years ago, yeah, it's still not ready yet, we're working on it. And then 2 years later, you finally, they go, yeah, it'll be available next year. So I just can't see how this is arriving anytime soon, because
you're reserving your excitement, are you? You're corking it for now.
Well, these were just sort of, as far as I could work out, they were kind of motorized styling models, weren't they? They're not, you know, it's nowhere near the finished car.
No.
I'm sure, yeah, with best intentions, they'll try and make it look like that. It's more a question of, you know, they got the time and money to get it out.
Well, they showed it driving into a Cars and Coffee type event, although it can't have been a true Cars and Coffee event because it was daytime. And as we know...
Oh, yeah. See, that's the thing. It's all set up, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's nonsense, of course. Everyone knows American Cars and Coffee is pitch dark. Everything's wrapped up by 5 a.m. But they've announced it at the... There was actually the event to announce the R2, and the R3 was a sort of Steve Jobs style, oh, one more thing, here's another car. So they've got to get the R2 done and then move on to the R3, and I don't know how big their engineering department is to be able to do stuff in parallel, or whether they really have to focus on one thing and then, you know, the work in earnest starts on the R3 once the R2's done. I don't know. I don't know how much money they've got.
Do you know, Rich, I've got to confess, Rich, while you were talking about the Rivian R3X, I quickly went online and thought, I'll just see if there's any AMC Eagles for sale in the UK at the moment. And lo and behold, my laptop took me to birdtrader.co.uk. And I am now on birdtrader.co.uk. I kid you not.
Does this mean they're selling actual eagles?
Actual eagles. Here we go. I'm just going to read out two.
That's not legal.
I didn't think this was legal either. So I'm going to
browsing illegal eagles.
Right, so we got, what we got here? Calm bald eagle for sale, £2,500, female.
Sorry, calm.
Calm, yes, as in like
calm.
Placid. Yes. It says,
yes.
It says, female golden eagle, parent reared, loves to be around children's and other pets. Calm and does not
what?
Scream. It can be reserved for the deposit or delivered. Seriously.
Fucking hell.
Honestly, I kid you not. I'm just reading it.
It's
a photo.
It doesn't feel legit.
No. Selling due to my own personal reasons. I've had no health or behavioural issues with it.
Although I have had my eyes pecked out. Also, it stole a kitten from next door.
Honestly, there's loads of them. Pair of step eagles due to ill health. Very reluctant
what?
Sale of my pair of step eagles. Been together in an enclosure for the last 6 years.
What?
Female laid eggs. Goodness me.
I don't agree with this.
No, I...
Two eagles. Eagles are beautiful, aren't they? Two eagles kept together in an enclosure.
I don't know why you do it.
Eagles are not in the world for your amusement to be able to go, look at my cage of eagles.
Well,
don't keep eagles as a pet. There's lots of other pets.
A half Kazakhstan golden eagle.
What?
Yeah.
Is it calm?
Well, let's just read the description. It's a very short. It's a female.
And furious golden eagle.
The description for this is incredibly brief. It just says, stunning birding, very big bird. I kid you not, that's all it.
Do any of these say find another?
Well,
yeah, all right, mate, I'll go to Scotland and take you up on that.
It's Eagle Trader. I've just stumbled across Eagle Trader. What's going on? For Patreons, I will put this on.
Is it legal to own an eagle? I'm going to search an eagle there.
Is it illegal?
Is it legal to own a bird of prey? British pet insurance comes up. Can you imagine insuring an eagle?
Well, you've got to take it for a fly, haven't you? You've got to take it for a fly.
Yes.
It can't just walk around in your back garden on a chain. It just can't. Well, there we go.
It's illegal to keep a bald eagle as a pet in the US. This is what I've learned so far.
Oh, in the US, but maybe in the UK they don't care.
Okay, hang on. Is it illegal? Is it legal to own an eagle, UK? If you own a bird of prey, you will need to register it if it's listed under the Section 7, Schedule 4 of the Wildlife and Countryside Act 1981. The bird will need to be registered as living with you at an address in England or Wales.
Telling you now, Chris Packham will be...
Birds of prey, just 10 minutes drive from you.
Chris Packham will be... And the ghost of Terry Nutkins... he would come and do you over if you believe in ghosts.
Yeah, yeah. Packham. Packham's going to be furious about this. Birds of prey that need to be registered are the golden eagle, the osprey, the white-tailed eagle, the goshawk, the marsh harrier, the honey buzzard, peregrine falcon, merlin and Montague's harrier. I think I saw them at the Dublin Castle in Camden Town. What are the rules for keeping bird? Well, we've gone down a terrible bird hole here, but I'm fascinated
bird
by people
hole.
Selling eagles.
Yeah, no idea. But if you want to bring it back onto cars, I'm more than happy.
Go on, do your best.
More than happy to.
I realised, you know my dog, you've met my dog, big, it's, fluffy.
Your dog's
she
crazy.
Is, but I've realised she is, in fact, a dangerous dog.
Really?
Yeah. Not full XL bully. She's a dangerous dog because last week she almost caused a lady in a Suzuki Ignis to lose control and drive into a gatepost.
Is that true?
You know my dog, she does, I mean, as one of my wife's mates in London, who's also American, once, when we sort of first had our dog, she came round and she went, oh my God, she looks like a fucking Disney character. And she does have that sort of cartoonish, big, fluffy, friendly dog look about her, and so people like her, you know, she naturally draws people over to scruffle her head. And but there was a lady, I was just walking her the other day, and there was a lady in an Ignis, and she was turning into some gates, and I could see her, and she saw the dog, and she sort of was looking at my dog, and she did a big smile, but that meant she wasn't looking where she was going.
Oh.
And she properly had to do a... She then suddenly looked ahead again and had to do a proper kind of jerky swerve to avoid swatting one of the big gateposts into the school. I was like, shit, I never thought of my dog as a road safety hazard. But yeah, she's because she's an amusing looking dog that people do sort of get distracted. And it's an Ignis lady almost clattered into a stone gatepost.
I thought it was that your dog ran out into the road and caused, you know, a proper tank slapper, Ignis tank slapper.
I did once years ago when we lived in London. I went running with her in the local park, and usually what would happen is I'd let her off the lead and then she'd run alongside me, and occasionally she'd dive off into the bushes or go and chase a squirrel. And then she'd sort of fall back into formation next to me, and I'd look down and give her a little nod, and she'd run alongside for a bit and then she'd peel off again. But she'd always come back. And then one day I was running and she didn't come back. And I stopped and I looked around and I was sitting like, oh, shit. And it's a big, open, quite flat park. So there weren't many hiding places. And I ran back and I called her name and I couldn't find her anywhere. And what had happened is that she had obviously lost sight of me because she got distracted. And she decided, fuck it, I'll just go home. And she crossed two quite busy roads.
And just went home?
She just went home. And she got to the front door and she sat outside the front door and she barked until my wife opened the front door and assumed that the dog had gone full lassie and was here to tell her that I'd had a heart attack in the park or something. So then my wife panicked and was coming up to the park to find me, assuming I was in trouble. But no, I was just running around the park looking for the bloody dog. But yeah, she crossed two quite busy roads and I still don't know how she did it without getting clattered. But maybe she did cause an accident, I don't know.
Well, no, and she doesn't know either because she just kept running.
Well, she doesn't know. No, I've asked her, and she's got no. She's not no response to that. So anyway.
Do you know, there was one thing that I forgot to mention last week, which I thought was extremely Smith and Sniff, and not that relevant to cars. So I thought I'll reserve it for this recording. When we left Scotland the day after our not quite Glasgow live event, yeah. I was charging at a Tesla charger. And wanted to go and fetch a coffee and have a toilet. Had to walk across some very, very inhospitable waste ground in order to get to this, what was a sort of McDonald's and Costa on the outskirts of a retail park. It was quite, it was a bit of a walk of shame, actually, because it was littered with horribleness. But anyway, I got to just near McDonald's, was going to go and use their facilities. And I noticed just next to the drive-through, where there's some fake grass and like a couple of bollards, there was a belt on the floor, just a person's belt. And it made me really giggle. I was laughing the whole time I went into McDonald's to the toilet. I just thought, what was the situation where someone discarded their belt outside McDonald's?
Yeah.
Have you gone in and had a real session, like you've ordered seven cheeseburgers with one of those gigantic chocolate milkshakes? He tried to funnel it all in.
Oh.
Yeah, and then gone, do you know what? I need to super leggero on my way home. I'm going to take my belt off, possibly take my trousers down.
But don't take your belt off and discard it. Like, what's the...
No, I don't know.
Unless the sheer pressure of having six Big Macs had broken the belt.
Oh.
And it was therefore...
Did it tear all the holes into one?
Yes. I hate it on a belt where you get a sort of elongated hole. It's no... It just doesn't feel as crisp as it once did.
Crisp.
In the trouser-securing area.
It's so true. So, yeah, discarded belt outside McDonald's. I think if Morrissey was still making frequent music, he would. He'd use that as a song title. It'd be quite whimsical.
Or just it would be a lyric, wouldn't it? Discarded belt outside McDonald's. He is still making music, isn't he? It's just I think everyone's agreed he's a bit of a prick these days.
Is that true?
Yeah.
That's a shame. That's a shame.
Anyway, look, we should wrap this up. Now, I had once again, because we decided to record this a bit early and I hadn't prepared and I forgot to think of anything for the three things. However, when we were near Glasgow at our live show, somebody, and I'm sorry, I didn't get a name, but somebody handed me an envelope quite mysteriously. And it says, only to be opened in case of a I've three things to tell you emergency. And then on the back, over the flap, it says, are you sure?
Really?
I'm not a writer, LOL. So, this is not a sound effect. I'm going to open this envelope because I haven't got three things prepared and see what's inside. It's a big bit of paper and it says So Johnny also has a solo YouTube channel. It's called the Imitate Baked Hake Show, where he tries to convince Michelin star chefs that he can just do just as good a job as them with his air fryer.
To imitate baked hake.
Imitate.
As in a fish.
Baked hake show.
Yeah.
Yes, as in the fish. This week he's in Cornwall trying to convince Rick Stein that a fillet of salmon needs is 3 minutes in the fryer while Rick is foaming at the mouth in incandescent rage. I imagine he would be. I don't know who gave that to me, but thank you. That's got me out of a hole because I genuinely hadn't prepared anything for that.
I'd love to get Rick Stein foaming. I'd love to.
I thought you might.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. Thank you, anonymous benefactor, there for that. Second thing to tell you is, as we mentioned last week, we are going to be at the Festival of the Unexceptional, which is happening in July. It's on the 27th of July. Tickets are on sale now. I think they are on sale. There's a point at which they may have sold out.
It's a very well-subscribed event.
As we speak, they are for sale. £35 a ticket, but that is £35 for a car. So if you have, for example, an early Renault Espace,
yes,
and you can get seven people in it, you can get seven people into the festival for £35.
You're now trying to human traffic your people into the festival. I think it's exceptional.
Wait for a message from the organisers going, don't encourage people to all turn up in Espaces. It'll ruin
it. Slightly baggy airport cars from America in the 60s, which have six doors. Might even have eight doors.
Those
ones? They're like Pontiac Tempests and things. If you had one of those, I mean, bloody hell.
Oh, God.
Or let's just say Eagle Quest. Senator.
We're back to this again. Jeez. How much K-car horse trading I've been doing this week.
Have you?
Because I talked to you know about his, and that's going to be an ongoing thing, but I've also messaged somebody else about but nothing to see here, particularly if you're my wife. Festival of the Unexceptional, 27th of July, tickets on sale. We're doing some stuff on stage. We're going to do a quiz called Wheel Trim of Misfortune, and we're going to do a chod swap thing that's sort of like Swap Shop, and we're going to do a live podcast recording also on stage, and we'll take some questions from the audience and all that. Hopefully see some of you there. And my Range Rover is up for sale at last. It's up on Collecting Cars. The auction runs all of this week, ends on Easter Sunday. Just search Range Rover 5-litre autobiography. It's the silver L322, exquisite example of the mark. Bid away, and hopefully it'll go to a good home. And the third thing I've got to tell you is that a baby rabbit is called a kitten.
Is it? I did not know that.
Yeah. No, nor did
bloody
I.
Bloody hell.
I saw it in a kid's game and I thought I'll remember that.
That's brilliant. I'm very much looking forward to Fest of the Unexcept. But if you want to watch the Late Break Show in the meantime, which is, that was not a perfect segue. this weekend, unless something changes radically, is the most exciting and definitely the slowest racing I've ever taken part in. It's 2CV ice racing, which I took part in on the, I think it was the first week of this year, right at the start of Jan, in the French Alps. And it was so much fun. And I would love it if you were to watch the video on how that went down. A gang of really, really fun loving people from all over the world who like to take 2CVs on what is essentially the ski slope, and just see how little the car will grip. Spoiler alert, I crash a little bit. It was great, sweet, innocent automotive fun. And in a world where everything's getting too expensive and too serious, this is not that. I actually remembered to promote something this week. It's good. It feels nice.
Yeah, you did well.
Feels nice.
Good. All right. Well, on that optimistic note, I'm off to buy a second-hand Eagle. And we'll do this all again next week. Until then, thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Cheers, mate. Thanks, mate. Bye.
So you've enjoyed this podcast, but you've had a thought. Is there a way here today that you could show support? Well, you could join our Patreon. What wonders that it brings. Early shows and extra notes on that side of things. You could buy our merchandise. We've mugs and hats, but still no ties. One day we will make those pies, but in the meantime, guys, hey guys, like and subscribe, and maybe leave a nice review. Like and subscribe, we know you know just what to do. Like and subscribe, we don't want to take the piss. Like and subscribe, but we were told to ask for this. Like and subscribe. Like and subscribe. Like and subscribe. Like and subscribe.
I can see you turning up to Festival of the Unexceptional with an eagle, and I'm turning up in an eagle quest.
Oh, my God.
It'll just...
Can you imagine just the whole day you've just got an eagle on your arm? But you...
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.